everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Corner Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Mooney. I've got an awesome, awesome guest. I just found her, but like I feel like I've seen her in a bunch of other things before, and I have, and I didn't realize it until just recently. So when I started doing some research, I was like, I gotta have her on the show. Please welcome. Okay, I hope I don't mess your name
Nothing
up. Okay.
done. No pressure. No pressure.
Okay, Victoria Vertuga.
You got it. Exactly.
Okay.
You nailed
All
it.
right.
Okay. I'm used to responding to any variation of V names. Like if I'm on set, it's like Vanessa, Veronica. If they, any V name, I'm like, they mean me. It's me. Let me go over there.
I think at one point I did put in Veronica. I
all the
don't
time.
know.
I get called Veronica more than Victoria. All like people
for real?
For real. People always want to call me Veronica. The most common thing I get called is Veronica Verdugo. I'm like, okay, you know, it's close enough. I'll take it. They mean
it's like that's a complete mess up of your name, but you know, it's like whatever, right?
All the time. I love it because my email is like my full name. So I love when I get an email to my full name email saying like, hey, Veronica. And it's like, but you typed out Victoria in the email.
Usually people just cut and paste that. You know,
100%.
that's probably it.
So funny.
Well, I am I'm excited. First off, I know you've been acting for a long time now and everything. Did you get started like when you were young?
Yeah, I mean, I had a really weird, like eccentric creative family on my one side. So we would put on these like family talent shows every summer. Almost everybody on that side of the family is like a musician. One of my uncles is a conductor. So we would basically, my grandma would like assign us a play. Like she would pick a play and assign us all roles in a play. And then we'd all have to do like other musical talents and all kinds of stuff for this like very, very hilarious family talent show. So those were actually my first ever things. My first role ever, I think, was Alice in Alice in Wonderland with my family. And then, yeah, I loved it. So, got bit by the bug, as many do, when I performed, you know, in school growing up and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of fought the urge to pursue a career on that side of things because I am very type A and I like control and I like to, but I like, I don't know, not to be worried about things like, you know, where the next paycheck is coming from and stuff like that. So I thought that maybe working on the business side would be kind of a happy medium. So I did that after graduating, but I hated it. And I'm so glad I did it because it really told me like, this is not what you want to do. This is not what works for you. I actually found that like freedom is so much more important to me than stability. Having the freedom to do what I want and create and all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of my journey to pursuing it full time.
Okay. So the business side though, like, are you not just talking producing? Because that's what you do now.
No,
stuff.
I, yeah, right. The stuff that I do now is kind of a necessity, right? In terms of if I want to make my projects, you know, being able to wear very many hats. And again, I am very like organized and type A and good at that kind of business side of stuff. But no, I actually worked, I worked in the music business for the first few years after graduating. I'm also a songwriter. I used to be a songwriter at least. So I worked in the music side, business side. I worked for a TV channel as well, a TV station doing stuff on the music side of things. So that was kind of my foray into the business side of things, which I did not enjoy at
It
all.
happens.
Yes.
Well, I mean, at least you know.
Oh yeah, I'm so glad I did it because like I said, it gave me kind of the push I needed to do this, to do what I really wanted to be doing anyway. And it just assured me that like, this is not, it may be safer, but it's not gonna make me happier. You know what I mean? So
right.
It was a good lesson to learn for sure.
That's awesome. Because like a lot of people will try different paths and see where they want. I particularly always knew I wanted to be in the entertainment. Like I knew I wanted to do either acting or writing, or I didn't know producing and directing at all when I was a kid, you know, but
most
I wanted
people don't
to.
know what that means, right? I think people still don't know what that means half the time, to be honest.
I know they think the actors do all the work, right? You know,
Right,
when
right.
they move the camera, they do all that.
Yeah, of course. They call the shot.
So yeah, so but I do want to go back to your family, you know, talent show stuff because
yes.
That is interesting. What like
That's
what
true.
Do you know any plays that you did particularly?
Oh, okay. So well, I remember Alice in Wonderland because we did that, but we did like all kinds of stuff from like Shakespeare to, I mean, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. We did.
Oh God, you didn't do like Romeo and Juliet with like cousins and
no,
stuff.
but we did like, I think we did either Hamlet or we did like, or Taming of the Shrew maybe. And there would be like condensed versions. Like I'm pretty sure my grandma would, you know, like make them shorter and bite sized. So it was like
right.
30 minutes or something versus like a 2-hour production or whatever. We did like, I don't even know, man, random things, but we would have to have like costumes and hair and makeup. And it was a whole production. Yeah.
That's fun, man. I'm sorry. That's like that. That's a fun family right there.
It was good times. It was good times. Very, very talented, eccentric people. So yes.
And they still follow you right now, like your path that you're on.
Yeah,
All right.
absolutely.
They must be really proud.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it took that being said, it's funny. My dad was that's his family that is that way. But my dad was a doctor. So he was like kind of the black sheep in their family because a lot of them went into creative endeavors, but he was a doctor. So he was not always on board with pursuing a career in the arts. But I think he kind of saw it as like a I think for a while he thought it was kind of like a lazy thing to do. Like it was like I was like sitting around on a lounge chair, you know, like eating bonbons and waiting for someone to discover me and make me a star. But I
Were you?
actually, oh yeah, oh yeah, that's you know that's me on a Tuesday sitting around getting fed grapes by shirtless man, you know. But I think when I actually had to, I moved back home for a period of time because I was filming a project where my parents live. And I think he saw me working on that and he saw me doing all the things and he saw how hard I was working and I think that kind of changed his mind as far as like what it entailed and the work ethic required and that kind of stuff.
It is sort of funny to think about it, though. Like, I mean, it is a lot of work. It's a lot of work, leading up to getting the gig. But then when you get the gig, it's a lot of work, like preparing for a role, doing this stuff. But, and I was talking to somebody the other day, it is a lot of it's wait, you know,
Oh,
waiting.
it's so much. It's hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait, right? It's so much.
Exactly.
It's
And
absolutely.
so people think, I think people think, because I had a friend who came out to one of my sets, and she thought, I think she thought like everything was going to be fast and things were going to be done like 2 hours. And it was a whole day, like, and night.
As it is, because that's
Right.
100%. I think when we, I've had the same encounter when like I have friends or family that aren't in the industry that want to be, you know, they want to be a little bit role of one of my things or background of one of my projects. And I'm like, yeah, great, come on in. And they're like, holy shit, this 30-second piece took like a day to film. You know what I mean? Like you filmed this 2-minute cold open for this project and it took us all day. I'm like, yeah, dude, what, like filmmaking, that's how it is. But I think for some reason, people don't, they just don't know. They don't think about it, right?
Yeah,
How
'cause,
long
well,
it takes.
I don't think we ever really thought about that in the beginning, you know, when we, especially when we were kids and doing that stuff. We were thinking, oh man, they just go on camera and they're already in makeup. They're already, you
Yeah,
know.
magic. Oh, if only, right?
Yeah,
Yes.
if only. I'd actually like to see a movie that's all that, you know, like all of a sudden it's just, it could be called Movie Magic. And it's literally a whole movie about people going into a movie and it's just already there and all set up, and all they have to do is just do their part, because that would be
Amazing.
hilarious too.
Imagine how much shorter your days would be, like no setup and breakdown and all that kind of stuff. Oh, you know?
I agree.
Wow.
So yeah, so you got into the arts and everything, and you decided this was your path. Did you go to school for it?
Yeah, so I went to USC. I actually majored I majored in music industry because like I said, I was a songwriter and I worked in the music business after graduating. So it was like a music degree with a built-in business minor, and then I minored in communications and theater as well.
Okay, so you minored in theater, and then you took classes, and then you sort of, where do you go from there after that?
Yeah, so like I said, I worked on the business side for a minute, and was like, no, I'm not gonna act full time. That's a crazy life. Who wants to do that? But then I was like, I want to do that. So then when it was time to do that, what did I, you know, I think I study. I'm always in class as far as acting class goes. I treat it like the gym. You know, you can't go to the gym once and be like, yeah, I'm in shape. You know, you got to keep your skills up. So I'm always in class because I treat it that way. I treat it like an opportunity to stay sharp in my game. And it's amazing to be around like that community and watch my fellow classmates who are amazing.
What classes do you learn
Yeah,
from?
so I've studied at a gajillion over the years. But my favorite spot ever is Annie Greenlee Studios here in LA.
Oh.
She's fantastic. We actually have two, like Rami Malek used to study there. He's got an Academy Award. Tons of my classmates have gone on to be series regs and things. But she's just like, from it's such a personal decision as far as who you connect with, right? There's a lot of people who have the clout and like people want to see their names on your resume, but you maybe don't vibe with them. You know, their style maybe isn't for you and the environment isn't for you. She's just like a beautiful way of calling everybody on their stuff, like telling it like it is, but not in a way that's mean and not in a way that's like trying to make you cry, just like whatever. And my favorite way that she gives notes is always an and, you know, so it's like, you know, oh, you were really present in the moment and you needed to work more on this, right? It's never but, it's always and, which I think is just beautiful and lovely and like such a metaphor
Yeah,
for
it's
life.
positive and not negative.
Exactly. And it doesn't like the word but negates everything, right? And it's like, yeah, this was great and there's room for this. What's really cool, because I've been studying with her for a long time, you know, I'll take breaks and when I'm working or breaks when I'm feel like taking a class somewhere else or whatever. But when you see people start with her and then, you know, be with her for months, you see them improve so much. It's really amazing to see. So yeah, it's fantastic.
That's sweet, because I never thought about that. I never thought that, you know, when you, because it's kind of true when you say, but, you know, it's sort of like all of a sudden this is more important than what I just said earlier. When it's, when if you just say, and it's not, I never thought about it like that. That's actually really, I gotta watch how I say things now.
Yeah, I've just been thinking about that a lot in terms of our kind of not this is getting on a way woo tangent, but in terms of the kind of the atmosphere and the environment that we live in today as a society, where like everybody has to agree and there's no room for disagreements or discussion or whatever. I've just been thinking about that, like the idea just that two things can often be true at once, right? The word and it, that's what that says. Like two things are true at once. It's not negating. It's not belittling something. It's just like these two things are both true. And it is what it is. Do with it what you will, right? I think we all need a little bit more of that kind of measured way of looking at things. But yeah, that's a tangent for another day.
I like, no, please go off on those. I like that because that's the kind of stuff I like to hear, you know, and everything in this world right now where everything feels like every, there's one side, there's the other side, and if you're not on one side, you're against the other side or
Exactly
whatever.
right. That's what I mean, exactly, where it's everything is like against, right? It's you're with me or you're against me. There's no room for like there's some truth to
Like
this
the
and there's some
middle,
truth to that.
there's no middle ground,
Yes.
and I feel like we need to start focusing on the fact that we can have a middle ground. I can be friends with some people over here and be friends with some people over here and not agree on every single thing both sides
How
say.
boring, yes. How boring would life be if like you the everyone around you thought exactly how you think? Like how boring would that be? The whole beautiful thing about like working in a creative industry is that people have different points of view, right? Like
Yeah.
that's the reason why any actor can take the same role and it's going to be different, because you bring your innate self to it, which is automatically different. Your POV is different, you know, as a writer, same thing. Like we bring our POV to the stories that we're writing, and that's what makes it unique and different. And there's this beautiful thing I think about art in that when as creators, the more specific we get with our stories, strangely, paradoxically, the more relatable they become. Because through our specifics, people are able to see their own stuff, you know, because we're being so honest and real and specific with our stuff, people can look at it and glean from it like the human experience commonalities that we all share. Be like, oh yeah, I can see that. Like those circumstances, wow, that's kind of like this thing with me over here, right? Because we have so much more in common as humans going through life, living our lives, you know, trying to do the best we can, then we have differences. Like any of us, regardless of what boxes you check or where you're coming from or whatever, like we as humans are all going through so much of the same stuff.
Right, exactly. I 100% agree. And I think like and to go into like I told you earlier, I watched Lexi, and I feel like a lot of that too is sort of what you brought to Lexi as a story. I don't know if this is anything of what you thought when you were making it, but in my mind it was like you were looking at this girl who and if nobody's seen it, it's about a girl who does like a YouTube video and but it's all positivity and it's all happy and it's great. And I want to get into some of that because there's some stuff I need to ask you about specific, but it's all, she's all positive and happy. And even some people in the being interviewed are like, it can't be positive and happy all the time. And there's something, you know, but that's, I mean, because that's all we see when we see those videos, when we see TikToks of certain people, we only see the happy things. We don't see the messy rooms and the you know, we see what people want us to see. And I feel like that's what sort of happened. And then of course there's this possible supernatural element of the movie that kind of goes into it, but like, you know, you don't know because there you know you kind of leave it open-ended, which I loved. I didn't want an answer, you know, I didn't
That's so
want.
funny. I knew it would be very polarizing. I knew some people would be so annoyed that I left it open-ended, but I think it was important to do it because I think the whole point of it is like it's up to you, right? Like here's the evidence of what happened. Like, what do you think happened? What, you know what I mean? And it's been really cool to see people's different opinions, because I think it says more about like you, the viewer, like where you are in your life and whatever, than it does about the movie itself, which is interesting. Because so that's been kind of a cool part. But yeah. I'm
You
glad you
must
enjoyed
have your own opinion too, like as the writer. Or did you kind of leave it where in your mind you had like multiple ideas?
it. So I have, it's funny because I that like that's been such an interesting thing. So I don't know. Like I purposely did not want to know, if that makes sense. Like I did not make a decision as a writer what I think happened, like while writing it, because I wanted it to be open-ended. Obviously, like me as the actor performing it, I have my feeling on what is going on or whatever, like in terms of the way you have to approach something as an actor, right? I do have my opinion as a writer too, as what I think happened, but I'll leave it open.
Yeah, there
Let
you go.
everyone come to their own conclusion.
I don't want to know what your actor, like what your
There's no
character
wrong
thought.
answer.
Yeah,
There's
I
no
don't
wrong.
want to hear that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you anyway.
Good. Don't. Because I'm just saying, like, because I really don't I wanna like I don't know. I'm a supernatural like lover. Like I love that kind of thing. So I wanna think that this lady that's saying, oh, this is that ain't Lexi and all that stuff. I wanna believe that she's true, because this was a, and I'm gonna probably gonna get yelled at for saying this, and I'm, you know, I haven't seen it in forever, but I like this more than Paranormal Activity, like the first one.
Oh my God,
Like,
amazing. Thank
yeah,
you.
because I feel like, you know, Paranormal Activity, the problem with the movie was just kind of boring. It's more like people walking around and then something might pop out or whatever. But this had like a backstory and character development and things that I was like, whoa, like it got me invested in knowing what was going to happen. So I
That's
like that,
awesome. Thank
you
you.
know.
Yeah, we tried to kind of merge the best of, like, 'cause I'm also a true crime like junkie. So we kind of tried to, put it in this case of like the mockumentary true crime format or whatever, which allowed us to flesh out the story and the characters and the points of view in a really nice way versus just watching kind of like, the way like one of the challenges of found footage is that is like, how do you make it interesting? Like Skinamarink is this movie that's out right now that's killing it. Rock on to them. But if you watch it, it's like 80% of it's B-roll, just like empty frames and stuff, which is cool. They made a whole movie out of that. But it's very polarizing in terms of like whether you find that interesting or you find it really boring or whatever the case,
Yeah.
right? So this kind of allowed us to, I think, a little bit more creative freedom to have those ways to tell it.
Like I can like get like Blair Witch, you know, like good for them. They made a movie. Most of it is them just arguing with each other like the whole time. And you know, and I love the directors who made it. I love the actors who are all in it. I mean, I think the greatest thing in the world was the fact that people thought it was real,
Yeah,
and
the
that was
marketing
like,
was brilliant on that. Like, because people thought it was like a real thing. And yeah, absolutely. There's so many like amazing lessons that people can glean from that in terms of like approaching a marketing of a horror film. So yeah, agreed. There's so many things they did right.
I'm
But I hear
surprised you
you.
didn't do that. I'm surprised you didn't make like a Laughing Lexi YouTube channel and
Yes.
like, and then kind of put
It's
all those
really,
videos
to be
out
perfectly
first.
honest, it's just because like I do not have the mental capacity and time to do like to spend that much time on it. Because I have a million other things in the air and a million other things I'm
Yeah.
doing, but yeah, I totally agree that that is like a very viable route to go. It probably would have been very cool.
Yeah. Like just because it just I kind of looked it up too on YouTube to see if maybe you had
Yeah. If we had, if
done
we did
something.
a, if we did a, yeah, a
There is a
vlog
Laughing Lexi out there, by the way. I don't know if you know
for
that on YouTube.
I didn't know that. That's funny. Well, sorry, Laughing Lexi, or you're welcome. Either way, one way.
She probably got more subscribers. You know, you know, I mean, she had a bunch of videos though. Like, I didn't see the subscriber thing, but she had a bunch of videos.
Nice.
It was not your stuff. So I
It
was
is
like,
not.
okay,
It is
what's
not.
up?
No, we did not do one. It is not me.
Or maybe she stole it from you. I don't know.
Who
I
knows?
didn't look
Obviously,
into it.
when it happened, when hers started. Who started it first? Who
Yeah,
came first?
who's got the copyright on that? You know,
Right?
but no, it's great. I love that. And so your character does a lot of positive, you know, videos and whatnot, and some of them are about lists and you know, having journals and everything. Did you do a lot of like research on like positive YouTube channels, or did you just kind of already know these things?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I did do research on the videos more for their kind of vibe rather than the content. More for like how these girls come across and like how they portray themselves and what the videos look like and that kind of thing. As far as what I say, it's funny. My cousin who watched it, she's like, it's funny because like you're you're saying things that you, Victoria, believe, but like Lexi's so different from you. It's just really funny. So yeah, a lot of it is just stuff that I already know or do. Some stuff I had to look up or whatever, or like come up with that idea of like, oh, what could the topic of this be? But as far as like, yeah, the research was more in terms of like how I wanted her to be as a character and like how I wanted the channel to be and like that kind of a thing.
Yeah, I watch a guy, I don't know if you follow him, Gary V.
Oh yeah, Gary's hilarious.
Yeah. And he's very inspirational. He's very, you know, he kind of got me, you know, he got me to like get up and do stuff more, I feel like. And
Totally,
so
that's great.
when I was watching this, I was like, oh, you're like, you know, the female Gary V in a way. Like, you're the
Love
person
it.
who's out there, people are watching you and they're getting inspiration to go do stuff, you know.
Yes, totally. That was definitely like what we wanted. And we wanted also because there's definitely like a shot in Florida aspect to this in terms of people love to watch someone fall apart, right? There's like a grossness to human nature where we love to watch somebody who we think has it all, you know, come tumbling down and get their just deserves or whatever. So I wanted her to be somebody who was on the surface, at least like she's trying to be good, right? She's trying to help people. She's not doing anything nefarious. It's not really necessarily like a very ego-driven. Obviously, there's going to be ego involved in any time you're on camera or you're an influencer, but she isn't somebody who's just about that. Like, she's trying to help people because that was kind of important to her and the journey from people like watching her demise.
Right. No, I totally agree. And I think that's great. And I also loved your dogs. I don't know if they're
Thank
your
you.
dogs.
They are my dogs. They
Okay.
are my dogs. Yes. So this was a COVID project. So I wrote and filmed this during like the first like 6 months or whatever of COVID. Because obviously like everybody else, my plans went down the crapper with COVID and the lockdown and stuff. So I still wanted to figure out a way to be productive during that time. So that's why the whole concept was created. It's like, what can I do where it's like 80% me in my house, you know, that
by
I can film
yourself.
by myself that I can film really easily. So, and then my dogs, I was like, shit. So do I crate my dogs all the time when I'm filming, or do I just have Lexi have dogs? And I was like, she's gonna have dogs. There we go. And it was just kind of funny. It adds a little something. It's funny. I obviously am. They're my dogs, so I'm a huge pit bull lover. So I've gotten so many funny emails from people who are like, "Thank you for having pit bulls in your movie and stuff." And I'm like, "Yeah, I love
aww.
It. Yeah, it's great." And
love
yes, my dogs.
Pits.
They're the best. And my dogs really are that chill. People are like, "How come your dogs don't react to anything?" I'm like, "That they literally don't react to anything. I don't know if you want me to tell you."
Well, the only thing.
Yeah.
So this might be something to do with the movie and the story, and maybe people might, and you probably might know what I'm gonna mess to say, but there's one point where the person's filming you, you're sleeping, and your dogs aren't even looking up or whatever. And it starts making me think, do the dogs know who this person is? Because they're so chill. So what is going on here? You know, or whatnot.
Absolutely. I struggle with that too. When we were filming, I was like, do I have to like figure out a way to get a reaction out of my dogs? Or is it more interesting if like, I feel like it makes you ask more questions than it answers, right? Because it is, like, why are they not reacting? And then sometimes they'll slightly react to things, but not really. But yeah, they're definitely not weirded out by like when it seems there's a person. So what does that mean? So I felt like I ended up liking it in terms of that. I think it's kind of interesting because it forces you to ask more questions. Like, what is going on? Like, does she know this person or what is this? Right. Or is it a person or what is it? So I don't know. I kind of like the weirdness that it adds, but they are very chill, my dogs.
And I like how cool you are about like kind of how polarizing the people are going to be about this, like how people are probably going to go on their letterbox and they're going to say, you know, this movie was like blah, blah, blah. And I didn't like it because of this. And I'm sure you get criticized where you're just like, okay, you know, like how
Look,
do you handle that?
Absolutely. So anytime you make anything, right, you can never please all the people all the time, right?
Mm.
Right. And you're not trying to. Like, I've learned as a creator that like the best work you do is if you're just like entertaining yourself, you know, or like you have to like what you're doing. You have to be entertained by what you're doing. And you kind of see that, like, for example, with the success of Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's such, I love them. I love their first film that's whacked out as well. I can't think of the name of it, with the guy with Harry Potter, the actor who plays Harry Potter, and he's like a corpse and he's like farting. It's amazing. If you haven't seen it, it's really funny. But anyway, they
hold on. Are you talking about wait?
It was a Sundance movie from like a few years ago.
The Daniel Radcliffe one.
Swiss Army Man. Thank you.
Swiss Army Man. Yes.
Swiss Army Man. Yes. So okay. And obviously, I think everything everywhere all at once is a more complete story and like a more ambitious endeavor like that they did. But My point being, they have a very specific sense of humor. They have a very specific point of view. They have a very specific vision. But clearly it resonated with people, right? But there's people who are like, hot dog fingers, what the fuck is this movie? Like, you're never gonna please everybody. So like, you have to just be true to your vision and what you like and your point of view. And you have to know some people aren't gonna get you. Some people aren't gonna like you. The one thing I find funny.
People actually, hold on real quick. People
Yeah.
actually said the hot dog fingers was the problem.
Oh,
Like they didn't get it.
I've seen so many people like who hate the movie and they don't get the what they think hot dog fingers. Like, yes, I've seen so much random comments on like the hot dog fingers and the weirdness
I
of him.
got like when I saw the hot dog fingers, the question I and the first thing I thought was like when people think about being in another universe, they always think of the most wackiest shit. Like maybe I was with hot dog fingers or something. So that like to
100%.
me, I was all into it. I was like,
It's
that's
funny. I mean,
awesome.
I think the sense of humor is funny and like I love it. But yeah, but the point being, like, you're never gonna please everybody. There's always gonna be people who don't get you, don't like you for whatever reason. What I find particularly funny slash annoying, but mostly funny, is that people who don't understand what an indie movie is, when they're like, "Who would green light this thing? Like, why is
Green
it
light this.
called?" All the time, they're like, "Who said yes to this movie?" And like, why? Like, why does it look so low budget? And they think that like every movie out there being made is being made by Sony for like $13 to $37 million, right? And you're like, it's an indie film, dude. Like, you know what I mean? So that I always find funny when the people reviewing it or posting, commenting on it or whatever, like, clearly have no idea that it's like, this is an indie film. Like, it's gonna, it was made for like a very, very modest budget. We're not competing against Barbarian or Smile. You know what I mean? It's like a very
Right.
different game. So I always find that funny. That's always interesting.
Yeah,
And
and that.
all the people who like completely miss the point when you're like, oh my God, just based on their comment, you're like, you completely miss the point. But then on the flip side, people who like sometimes as a filmmaker, as a creator, you're like layering all these things in and you're like, I wonder if anyone's gonna notice that, or I wonder if anyone's gonna get that. And when they do, they like pick up on it, you're like, oh, okay, somebody got it. They picked up what I was putting down, and that's like so satisfying and cool. So, you have to easier said than done, depending on the day and the project, right? But I try my best to not worry about that. What I will say about this project too, because of the way I made it, because of the, it was such a weird circumstance with COVID, and like it was literally just so much of it was me, and it was like a shot over months, like around my schedule, and like piecemealed together, and so much of the film I found during the making process, because like there were things, ideas in the script that didn't work in practice, and there were things that I came up with while shooting that I added in. So a lot of it was kind of like found during the process of making, which is a very different experience from how you normally would make a film. And so for whatever reason, because of that, I was so less precious about this project than I have been with other things. Like, I know it's weird, and it was made weird, and it was a weird time, and I'm like, yeah, I wonder if anyone will like it. Let's just see what happens. Like, I feel much less sensitive about it than sometimes I do with other things. And I love that. I wish I could figure out like why that is and recreate that for every project going forward. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we get a little like in our feelings about our stuff, which is fair as artists. But for some reason, with this one, I don't have very much of that at all. So I just think it's funny. Like all the comments, good, bad, whatever, like ridiculous. I think it's just kind of funny. Like, oh, whatever.
Okay, so there's a couple things too. First of all, I did not know that this was COVID project, but it now that you say that, I'm like, yep, okay, totally get it. You know, you're alone most of the time, with like your social distancing, you're having
One
people
actor at
send
a time, like.
you're having people send in videos of the, for you. Like that totally that okay, now I'm like, okay, now I get it. And it actually makes it even cooler in a way
Thank
because
you.
yeah, you know.
Yeah, we had the idea for like the fans and the haters and all those people, like, because I wanted to open up the universe a little bit more. So we were like, oh, what if we have people just like send in, like commentary videos and whatever. So that was great. Yeah, we could have everyone do that. So that opened like allowed us to open the world up a little bit. But yes, yeah, so that's why it's like the cast, like my castmates are people that I know and I've worked with on multiple projects, and they're this because this was like pre-vaccine. This was early days of COVID, so people had to feel comfortable like filming with me. Hey, can I come to your house, and or can we go to this, soundstage and do this thing? So yeah, that I had to be people that were cool with that trusted me, that felt comfortable in that environment. That's why it's like one expert at a time, right? We came up with the idea of, yeah, it's all to lend itself to like shooting during early COVID.
That's awesome. That's great. The second thing is Eric Williford, right, was the
My writing credit.
co-writer, and Franklin Guerrero. I've known of, I think I even interviewed him years
Thank you.
ago,
Yeah.
because
They've done
he
a few
did a
projects
little
together.
movie called Eighth Plague.
Eighth Plague.
Yes, and DJ Perry and Terry Jernigan were in it, I believe. I think Terry might have been, but anyway, no, TJ was, because that's how like I got like, oh, okay, let me go rent this. And then I think, if I'm correct, was he from like, where was he from?
Yeah, they're both from so Eric grew up mostly in like Virginia, and I
Yes.
think Frankie grew up in the same area.
Okay,
So
I'm
they
from
met each
Virginia.
other at a coffee shop way back when. Like I think Frankie was reading a book of filmmaking. It's like Eric walked up to him and was like, "Oh yeah, you're reading the book of filmmaking? I'm a filmmaker." And that's literally how they met. And then they did Carver and the Eighth Plague together back there and on the East Coast. And then they're both out here now. So yeah, Frankie's dope. He DP'd and directed a few episodes of my web series Disgraced. We did a project before that together called Ties that Frankie DP'd. It was a pilot, like a half-hour comedy pilot. And then what happened was me and Eric did this project together, Lexi, and originally we had the interviews like of the like experts, the three experts, kind of shot like if you ever watched like Surviving R. Kelly or like one of the documentaries where the it's just like black behind them, it's just like
Yeah.
blackness. So that's how we originally shot it, and then we sent a rough cut of the film to Frankie just to get his opinion on the movie, getting notes while we're finalizing the edit and stuff. And he was like, "Oh, like let me shoot these interviews again. Like let's shoot them different. Let's get some B-roll, whatever. Like I'm in. Have me help you." And I was like, "Okay, come on in." So then I think it made such a great difference in terms of the production value. So he reshot those interviews. We just did another day for each person and did those and the B-roll for us. And yeah, I think it made like such a great it just really, really had a positive impact on the film. So shout out to Frankie for doing that. He's dope. And that's how that came about.
That's awesome. I think it's so weird. Like I was saying before, I like when I found I don't even know, maybe I found you on Instagram or something, but I found you and I was like, what?
On the interwebs
On the
somewhere,
interwebs.
yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then I looked up Lexi and I was like, okay, this is on Tubi, which shout out to Tubi. You guys can, Tubi was like the best thing for COVID, like
Free content, man.
I
And
know.
also like it's the best thing for any filmmakers. Tubi is like how most of us make the vast majority of our money. Shout out to Tubi. Yes, we love Tubi. Big up.
Yes, big time. And yeah, I mean, sometimes they let on pretty much almost anything. They're almost becoming like YouTube, where they're just letting people just put out content.
They
Just
really are. They really are.
like,
Yes.
sometimes I'm like, do they screen the movies first, or do they just say, sure, you can? And I think they
Thrown out
literally,
there. What's the worst that can happen? Yeah,
I
they're
mean, people watch it. We did a review of a movie called what was it? Like, it wasn't. There was later on one called Trump versus the Illuminati, but I don't know if we did that one. I know we did one of
okay.
the like I don't know, shark movies
Oh
versus,
yeah. Oh yeah.
whatever,
Yeah,
but it was
Sharktopus
one that
versus
was
whatever.
recorded for probably during COVID for Tubi, to go straight to Tubi. And I was like, oh my God, these are just terrible, but they're fun, like how can you not enjoy an animated shark movie thing,
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see what happens too. Like I think people were a little freaked out when Fox bought them, thinking that it would change, and maybe it will. Kind of the way that Amazon used to be very friendly towards indie filmmakers, and then now is not at all in terms of the rates of pay and all that kind of stuff, and in terms of what they let on and don't let on. So it'll be interesting to see if that changes over time. Also with like Tubi doing their own originals now. But what's great is like they have the data, so they know what does well on Tubi. So it's like horror films, like movie of the week type movies, and urban films. So they basically bought up a couple like Mar Vista, which does a lot of the movie of the week type stuff.
Oh, I worked
Mark.
for them actually.
Oh yeah. So they bought up Mar Vista, and then they're doing a lot of those. So my one of my classmates was in this the Johnny Depp, like the remake of the Johnny Depp trial one. It's called like Hot Take or something, that is a Tubi original through Mar Vista. And then they basically bought up some of the indie horror and indie like urban movie people that are doing that stuff, so they can make Tubi originals because they know what does well on their platform, right? So that's cool too. So I think it'll be interesting to see if like some of these Tubi originals in the horror space, like what they look like going forward. I'm curious to see about that.
So,
But
are you
yeah.
into horror?
Oh yeah. I love horror. I don't love all horror, I will say. Oh no, shock it. Don't beat me with a stick. Like I definitely have my favorite kind of horror is like I kind of like three like avenues of it. I like really dark, grounded stuff that could debatably not be even considered horror, but some people like Silence of the Lambs, Seven, like Black
Like
Phone is in that group.
psychological thrillers kind of thing.
Yeah, like really good thriller. I love a good like dark, twisted thriller. Like Black Phone, I think is one of my favorite like recent horror movies and I think it was so good. So that's like totally my jam. I also love like your like Shaun of the Dead and your like Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Your horror comedies.
Horror comedies, Ready or Not. I love those. I think those are great. So, and like even like a, I'll even put like a Scream in there, you know, like it has to be a good, one of the good Screams, but like, you know, like a fun comedy-ish, like those things are fine to me. What I don't like is like just blood and violence for the sake of blood and violence. Just like no plot, just all slasher. That for me is like,
okay, that kind of thing. Where like torture porn, you're probably not.
Yeah,
that.
Torture porn type stuff is not really my jam. And yeah, and then yes, I need like, you know, I need a story more than anything. Like I need a story that I can like sink my teeth into, and then I'm in it. You know, so whether it be yeah, but I can't just like watch like people being mindlessly killed and like yeah, you know, for like an hour and a half, I get bored. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, and it has to have characters you can connect with in some way. Because I do
Of
watch,
course.
I mean, we watch a lot of, for our, you know, for our Thingity Film Cafe, we kind of review a lot of older and sometimes newer, but most of the time, older indie films and stuff. And I'm not going to lie, we're in a world right now where horror is becoming like Amityville, and now I'm seeing cocaine everything because of
Oh, yeah.
Cocaine Bear
Oh,
doing
I
well. And I'm just
totally.
like, I'm almost like kind of. I hate saying this, but sort of getting done with new indie stuff until they like get away from this. Like, because
Fair.
what I feel like happens, and this is why I think also I really like Lexi, because even though it's not necessarily horror, you know, it's got horror elements, but it's
Yes,
really
it's more like mystery thriller or
mystery
whatever.
thriller. And what I liked about that was like you weren't following a trend, you know.
Yes.
And whatnot. You, this was an Amityville Lexi, you know, or something, you know.
Yes, totally. And now you know we're gonna see like, because the success of like Skinamarink, Terrifier 2, and like the Winnie the Pooh one, we're gonna see all these like things that are in like the public domain as characters become made into like bad horror movies. We're gonna see all these like knockoff Art the Clown type characters because of Terrifier. It's just funny how that happens, right? Like something does well, and then people think that whatever, rather than like getting to like the soul of what made it good, they're just like trying to knock it off and like do their version of it to make a quick buck, right?
Right. Well, I mean, okay. So actually, I was talking to a friend today about it because I was telling him how I was getting tired of like cocaine everything. And he was like, what made Cocaine Bear so freaking good was it took a story that was crazy already and made it crazier. Right. So it took like this idea of this bear that discovered cocaine and then went and
On
died.
a crazy, yep, exactly.
And then
Crazy
it
blue
made
eye,
it like all of a sudden he's going and killing people.
yes.
That's awesome. So like he was like, people need to do that, not concentrate on the fact that it was a
The cocaine part.
cocaine bear, you
No,
know?
that's what I mean. Instead of they miss like the thing that makes it crazy, like to your point. Like but I think what happens too is a lot of times, like same thing with the Winnie the Pooh movie, it's like the concept sells itself, right? It's like the concept of Cocaine Bear is so ridiculous that like you're gonna get people's attention, right? They're gonna be like, what? Crazy. So I think a lot of times people rest on their laurels when that's the case. Like they're like, oh, my idea is great. So like they think the concept is so strong that they like don't really care about the quality of the thing sometimes. Or everybody's just trying to bite off of that concept versus like what made it good.
Or somebody takes like a awesome title and just doesn't do anything with it,
With
you
it.
know? Like
I
it's
know. And you're like, no, don't ruin it. Save it for something good.
I
Come
know,
on.
yeah, I could have made something good with that. Like I
Yes.
get so frustrated with the fact that like people have these idea like these titles and then I'm like, okay, where's it gonna go? What's it gonna happen? And then it's just sort of
Yeah, it
I don't
doesn't
know.
deliver on the like the promise of the title.
Yeah, absolutely. So that kind of
That
sucks.
definitely happens.
But yeah, so I mean, so you made Lexi, you also made Disgraced, which is a web series, and as far as I could see, sort of Grace herself is sort of disgraced, like it says in the title, and she's sort of kind of she had like an embarrassing moment in life, and sort of now she's trying to get her career back on track and everything, and she's sort of a real actor who's trying to see how notice how it's an actor, not actress, because. You know, that's apparently more along the lines of what LA wants, like a lot of actors want to be called. Like they don't want to do that.
Yeah,
But
we're all actors. Yeah, for sure.
yeah, you're all actors. And we're all, you know, and I act occasionally. I was in a couple Mar Vista
Yeah.
Lifetime projects. Those are fun.
Nice.
Yeah. One that was originally called Breast Cancer Bucket List. Not lying. When I signed up to be an extra in that, that's what it was called. And then they changed it to List of a Lifetime, which
Much better.
it's, I mean, yeah, it was the greatest. Like, it was fun
Yes.
because I like being an extra because you get paid and all you do is, and you get food and all you do is just hang out can't really mess things up too badly, you know?
No, exactly. As long as, yeah, don't make a scene, you're good. Just do what you're told and you're great.
Yeah, it's not what I want to do for the rest of my life. And some people, and look, I'm not knocking it. Some people do. That is what they do, professional extras and stuff in background. And wonderful. Not my jam, just because, that's not what I want to do. But not knocking it, because, more power to them. But
Oh, and we need them. Lord knows that, like, we need actors in movies, right? You need them to
right.
set your scene and do all the stuff. So yeah, absolutely. Rock on.
And once again, to go back to what we were talking about earlier, you want people who actually know what they're getting themselves into and are happy to do it. Like,
Right.
I'm
This is like,
happy.
why are we still here? It's been 20 minutes. Aren't we done? Yeah, you don't want those
20
people on your
minutes.
set. You don't want those people on your set. That's gonna be a long day.
Yeah, they think they're only going to be there for 20 minutes. Like, I remember my first time. Well, was it my first time or second time? But it was one of my first times doing extra work on a real thing. And I was. It was for FBI Criminal Pursuit. I don't know if you know that show or not.
Okay.
For ID
ID
and channel,
Discovery.
yeah. And so I went in there and I was supposed to play like a John, and everything who buys a hooker with a credit card.
Oh, that's okay. Does she have a square? Or like, how does
No,
it?
this was old school. It was like the one where you gotta.
Oh my
That
God,
was
amazing.
like the whole bit in the thing is like the pimp would actually do this for real, would actually get the, so it wasn't a hooker who was doing this, pimp, and so like it was the most
I have so many questions because, like, what? It's, what about
and
that
I
show?
had to
What
be
about
there
that
for the
show?
whole time, and I was
Yeah.
only there like, and so I think they felt terrible that they had asked me to come in like early and I wasn't going to be there till like the last scene, right? And I don't
Yes.
know why they kept me, like they didn't say your call time is,
Yeah,
later
later.
or something.
Right.
But
Bump it.
yeah, they made me end up another John who wasn't seen, and I'm in all like a leather pants and with a whip, and I had to literally whip myself like five times, or probably even more, because they kept saying, "All right, go it again." Actually, I think the director was just fucking with me at some
One,
point.
yeah.
But like the point.
I think we need about 37 more takes of that. Let's go.
Yeah, and I was just like, what the hell? So I don't know. I think it was my first time there going, am I going? Like, why am I still here waiting? And it was the first time I was going, well, I'm getting paid to literally just sit around and do nothing, like on my phone. So like I can't complain, So there you go. So more
Glamorous life of
when they're
that
doing
guy.
it for free, I can understand complaining.
Oh, without a doubt. Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely.
But anyway, what was the biggest thing you learned as a director? Like that you didn't think you knew?
Yeah, I think it's so weird. I don't know what as a director specifically, but I think, like, stepping into producing and directing and all the things and wearing more hats, just gives you kind of a better sense of how everything works and makes you better at whatever thing that you want to do. So, like, writing definitely made me a better actor. Directing made me a better writer, because you just know what the next person and the next phase needs to do what they're doing. And the more awareness I think you have of what everybody needs to do their job effectively, like, the better a collaborator that you are. And then also one of the lessons I had to learn, while stepping into doing all the things and wearing so many hats, was how to protect myself as an actor. Because it's so easy. There's so many things going on and productions are chaotic and things go wrong and whatever. So much of that is going to take your attention away from the craft of acting. So I have to, like, make sure that I do my prep work and stuff, like, super far in advance, so that that's in me and I have it and I don't need to worry about that at all. Because when we're shooting, I'm not gonna have any time to worry about any of that stuff. So I just had to find a system, like, that works for me with that and know that going into it. So I think, like, the very first project I ever did where I was writing and producing and directing and all the things, I felt like my performance wasn't as good as it could have been because of that. So then the next time around, I was like, okay, here's what I need to learn to do, you know, do this stuff way before so that when I'm on set, I have the attention to devote to all the other things that are definitely going to end up needing it, right?
Right.
But yeah. And then one of the things I think is so important as a director, because you're the person who kind of just sets the tone for the set, really. You're kind of like the set captain. Is to just remember that we are doing this because we friggin' love it. And it is such a privilege and a joy to do it. So I just try to always have that mentality and have that like love for this present so that everybody can have fun on set, because it really is fun. It is amazing. It is so fun. It's collaborative. That's so, it can be such a joyous thing. And having been, you know, an actor on many different sets, the vibe can be very different depending on what set you're going to. So I always try to make mine one of like fun and joy and appreciation and collaboration so that we can all love what we're doing, because that's why we're doing this, right?
Okay, so you just pointed out something that actually I was talking to somebody about a while back, but because of my last guest on here for the season, Todd, he was a director, or he is a director. He's a director. And not putting him in the past, but he's a director.
Yes.
And he was talking about how he doesn't like, he likes the pre-production, and he likes the post-production, does not like production side of things. And I said, oh my god, I can't believe it. I love production. I love being on set. That's an actor thing. I think some directors probably don't love the production side because they're so, you know, excited about getting it going and doing everything, but that the production can be stressful and whatever. But like actors, we love to be on set. You know, we are excited. Like well, at least for me, that's my home. You know, I feel, you know, at home when I'm on set and stuff. So
it's a family. It's a great energy. But yeah, that's interesting. That is, I think I understand what he might be meaning in terms of like, it is insanely stressful because producing, if you've ever like planned a wedding or planned like a move or whatever, like things, you know, it's a lot of time and energy spent to make this thing happen, and things inevitably go wrong. So you have to be able to think on your feet, come up with creative solutions, let things roll off your back. So that can be very challenging. But I think again, like, if you go into it knowing that that's how it's going to be, and like, and just knowing you've done this, how many, like, it's going to work out. It's going to be fine. Like, things are going to come up and things are going to go wrong, but it's going to be okay in the end. And you're going to have a good time about it. Like, I think having a good attitude only makes it better all around versus like, if you're, you know what I mean? I think like control what you can, you can at least try to control your attitude. Like the last project, that I did, that's about to premiere next week at Horror Hound. Oh my God, that feature film almost killed me. Literally everything that could go wrong went wrong. It was just, we had a cat get stuck in the grip truck overnight and like ruin all of our like,
oh God,
lighting equipment.
What, actually like literally got like broke it
like,
and stuff?
Somehow a stray cat like got into the grip truck and got closed in there and like went batshit, and like as a cat stuck in a grip truck might, and like, right. Yeah, did a bunch of damage to all of our equipment. That was fun. We also had, we were like, it was the last day of filming. We were like raking the ground to put the pads down for this like big fight sequence, and there was like a pipe this far under the ground that we hit when we raked and flooded it. So we flooded the whole thing, had to figure out how to like turn the water off, get all the water out of there, dry it all out before we could do our you name it. We had so many things go wrong. Every single day was like a great adventure of like a new disaster going wrong, and I was like, this friggin' movie is gonna kill me. But even then it was fine. Like, it all worked out. Like, the project was great, you know what I'm saying? Like, things are gonna go wrong. Never more have I experienced in that one project. Like, every day was an adventure, but it's okay. Like, it's still so fun. It's still such a privilege to get to do this, and like, things work out. You come up with creative solutions, you make it happen, people step up, you know, it all works out.
It wasn't named Cursed anything, was it?
Because... No, it wasn't. No, it was
Well, not. No, I'm just saying that because, like, there's a, what is it, the movie Cursed, you know? That actually was a cursed project. There's a lot of problems that happened. There's other movies that have, like, titles that actually have, like, bad mojo in the title. Bad mojo ends up happening in the movie.
Weird.
And I'm like, I'm almost like thinking, I don't want to write any movie that has any kind of like, you know, negative connotation, because like, I feel like that's just already gonna like set it
Inviting
off.
the energy in. Yeah, we should have known, like, on day one of filming, there was like an epic thunderstorm, so, and we were filming outside, and like,
Ugh.
yeah, that kind of set the tone for the days to come. But again, like, it's fine. It all worked out. I thought I was gonna like lose my mind and go crazy, but it's fine.
I feel like outdoors are usually the worst, you know,
it's so
because
tricky. It's so tricky,
you
and like,
can't control it.
no, you can't. In California, like, right, it never rains, but then you get a year like this or whatever where we rain.
Yeah.
It's like you just don't know. You have to just be flexible and make it work. And yeah,
Like hell
but
froze over, and now California's getting nothing but rain, you know,
I know,
really.
we're either in like the world's worst drought or we're just like mudslides and flooding constantly, right? We can't find a happy medium in the middle. Can we get some rain so that we don't like die?
Just some.
Yeah, just some, a little, a nice smattering. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, I moved to LA. I'm back in Virginia now. I moved back in 2021, but I moved in 2020, like right before 2020. It was 2019, like end of, you know, right after Christmas, went
Yep.
and I
So you
moved
had like
in.
2 months.
Everything was like, I had like 2 months of like, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, like I got booked, you know, a small part in Collision Earth, which was on The
Yeah.
Asylum, you know, and stuff like that. And things were okay, and I was happy. March something comes around, and boom, like the world shuts down. Everything is nuts, and I'm like, huh. And then like, but I noticed like one thing I was happy about was like it barely rained, and my
Yeah.
sinuses were good. Like I was barely sneezing. Like I was
Yeah.
like, all right, well, this is better than Virginia, but still, like, it's now like I can't get any work, I can't do anything. So it's kind of sucky for a while, and then I leave, I go to leave, and they're like, oh, by the way, we're opening everything up.
Opening back up. Yeah. So it's you. It's your fault.
It was my
Don't
fault. I,
you
I'm,
come back. Don't
I
you come
brought
back.
COVID to the
You're gonna
whole
move. You're
world.
gonna no, you're gonna move back right before the writer's strike happens. So you stay away.
I better stay away right now just to make sure.
Exactly.
Share that up. Are you on the guild? Are you on the Writers Guild?
I'm not in the WGA, no, I'm in the PGA and SAG. I
You're in
would
the
love to.
PGA? That's awesome. Do you
Yeah.
ever put the you don't put the PGA
I do. So
name?
Cobo's, so you actually, it's kind of a misconception. So just being in the PGA doesn't allow you to put the PGA on. Every project you have to submit. And what
Right.
the PGA means is that you are the primary producer on it, meaning like you handled the producing duties, like the vast majority of producing duties. There can be more than one. I think there can be up to three people. But you guys did the vast majority of the producing duties for that project. And so you have to apply, and they basically call everybody on your set to make sure that you actually did what you said you did. And then they say, yes, you're allowed to use the PGA thing. So like this next project that's premiering, Cold Blows the Wind. So I have PGA on that.
Nice.
So yeah, Lexi was too small of a project. We didn't have enough cast to even be eligible because there weren't enough people to like verify that I did the things I did, which all basically just means I did all the things myself, but it's not like a big enough scale to get it. So like that's why it's not on Lexi. But yeah. So PGA is more of kind of like it's like a less union-y guild than most. It's more of like a group, if that makes sense. 'Cause they don't really like do any, there's no health insurance, there's no like negotiating kind of on behalf of them. It's more just like a kind of like a, I don't know how to explain it. It's less like union-y.
But
They do
okay.
less for their members. It's more of like they provide opportunities for career advancement and networking and blah 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 and things like that. And they have their awards show and they send out their screeners and stuff like that. But it's not like they're doing like the negotiating of like a SAG or a DGA or a WGA.
So you said you're both SAG and PGA. So you have to, I mean, that's gotta be expensive every month, you know, or whatever, or a year or whatever it is. So that's crazy, but wonderful, because that means you're probably getting a lot more work then, hopefully.
Hopefully in theory, and like hopefully the work you're getting is better. But yeah, definitely for sure. I was lucky because I was in AFTRA. So there used to be SAG, now it's SAG-AFTRA, but there used to be SAG and AFTRA. And so I was in AFTRA because my first ever TV job was Days of Our Lives, which was a soap,
Oh
which is
yeah, I saw that.
Which is under the AFTRA contract. So the way that it works is once you've been in AFTRA for a year, then you can apply, you're eligible for SAG. But I joined AFTRA right before the merger happened. I had gotten that job. So I was grandfathered in. So I didn't have to pay the really expensive dues to SAG. I had only paid the much cheaper dues to AFTRA. So I got in without having to pay so much initiation dues, which is fantastic. So yeah, I so
Nice.
obviously the way that it works is they take 5%. I believe it's 5%. I think that's right, of your earnings every year. So whatever you make, SAG is taking that. Then you plus a base payment of like whatever it is each 6 months. So you have like a minimum that you're paying, whether you earn money or you don't earn money, and then you have like 5% of whatever you earn that you're paying to the union. And then the PGA is like a one-time initiation fee, and then like just a yearly fee.
That's great. Like that's, but okay. So I gotta know this because I see it like when I see the PGA titles on the people's things. I mean, is there a specific reason why you want that? Like, is there, does it help you better?
I think it's just, so you basically have to apply for the PGA mark if you want to be eligible for the PGA awards, the Producers Guild Awards. So I think that's why most people do it, so that they get their films can be eligible. But I think it's also kind of a marker of, how do I say this? So you know how you can give producer credit to like anybody? Like I'd be like, hey, do you want to be a producer on this project? And
Indiegogo, baby, you know.
Right. Exactly. Which doesn't necessarily mean anything. Like it doesn't mean they did anything. So I think that's what like the PGA mark is meant to be a differentiator of anybody who, if you look at it, like it, like Jason Blum will always be whatever. The first few people, they can have like 30 producers on a project, but the people with the PGA are the ones who actually, no disrespect to everybody else, but who actually did the producing, right?
Right.
Not just producer credit for whatever reason, or negotiating with the actor. Like a lot of times the actors will get producer credit and stuff like that. So if they have a PGA, they actually did the producing duties.
Okay, good. And yeah, and wow, that's, it's nice that they're a little that extensive, but it's also sort of scary because, you know, at that time you're like, oh crap, did I mess up somewhere? Are they gonna like
totally, it's weird. You also have to like let your cast know. You're like, hey everybody, they're gonna be like calling you to like vet me or whatever, because otherwise they're like, who's calling me from, you know?
Right, they have to answer. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
So, what, yeah, if they don't answer just because like they're busy or something? They just don't
I don't
answer.
Know how that works. I think they have like, you have an extensive list of positions that they want to talk to. So they want to talk to like all your department heads, people in key positions. So I'm assuming if they weren't able to get in touch with enough people, then they would contact you and be like, hey, we can't get people to, we just like, I'm sure if like one or two people they can't reach on that like extensive list, it's probably okay, I'm imagining. But I'm sure they have some kind of weird formula or threshold for like what is enough, you know?
Or they probably just keep calling like a,
you know? Yeah, like a maniac, like, hey, give me that information, I want to know.
I need that now.
Yeah, I don't even know.
I could, that almost seems like a story in its own, like, you know. Totally. It's funny. So as a writer, are you always thinking of things and trying to come up with your next idea?
Constantly. And also it's like not safe to like live around me either, right? Or like be in my presence, because like everything is like potential fodder for a screenplay. Like anything that happens or anything that someone says or whatever, it's always like goes in the bank for later, you know what I mean? I'm like, sorry, that's gonna end up in a screenplay later, hope you don't mind. I always warn everybody, I'm like, anything said around me or done around me could end up in a script later, just want to throw that out there.
That's why I loved having roommates, because I could always come up with something. Like one of my roommates and I would just write stuff, and I would just be like, you know, you did this, and let's put this in the script.
Yeah, totally. Because like life is so much crazier than, you know, than anything you can make up. Like real life provides you with so much insane fodder. You know, like it's crazy. Like real life is crazy. So yeah, it's you can't get better than that.
Well, I think that's the best thing about being a writer, is you're constantly out there, hopefully living your life and not just writing, because I feel like a lot of writers, a lot of it is just, I'm just gonna sit at home, I'm gonna write. But if you go outside and like go to a restaurant or go to a movie or go somewhere, and you're outside and you see and hear somebody say something that you're like, oh crap, or you see something crazy and you're like, okay, I can put that in a script, you know, that's,
yeah,
a little better
everywhere. Yeah, and there's so much, totally. Like I've always been such a people watcher too. Like even before, you know, I think as an actor and a writer, I think you're always just observing people. So totally, I agree. And same thing, like you said, you have to live your life. I think to be a creative, an artist in any form, the more full of a life you live, the more experiences you have under your belt, all that stuff just lends itself to creating better, more interesting, fuller art, right? So yeah, live your life, man. It's beneficial.
Yeah, I learned that lesson actually when I was invited to my friend's birthday party. It was a filmmaker guy in California, and I didn't go. And my other friend, to this day, she still bothers me about it. Like, I got so many gigs and so much stuff from that. Like, if you, and it was a lot of me, is like, because I'm a writer, I'm very, introverted. Like, I'm okay doing this, you know, or
Like
going out.
big groups is intimidating. Like small groups are okay, one-on-one is okay, but like big groups are.
Well, no, the big groups don't bother me like in that sense, but I feel it's hard to explain because like I can be okay. Like sometimes big groups really do make me feel okay,
Yeah.
but most times it's like the going there and then meeting people I don't know, you know,
Yes.
and stuff, and
Totally.
like
It's exhausting.
yeah. Well, it's just also scary because like you know like everybody's first impression of anybody is going to be what they think of you. You know, almost for the rest of your life. You don't think that way, but like sometimes, but like if you go out and meet someone in a grocery mart and you are a total dick to them,
Oh,
they're
totally.
probably always going to be like, and if they
Oh, he
see
was
you
that asshole in
again,
the grocery store. Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
you're that asshole from the grocery store.
Yep.
So like it's sort of that thing of like, it's that fear of like, oh shit, I'm gonna fuck something up.
It's the pressure of trying to make a good first impression. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel that all the time?
I do. I think yeah, it's funny. I think there's either way, I feel pressure. This is weird because I think if you're meeting somebody for sure, like you want to make a good impression, and yeah, that can just be, you know, I am an extrovert, but I'm also an extrovert who likes alone time. I also very much like my alone time, but I think it still can be exhausting, right? Like having to be on and your best, brightest self in a crowd forever. That can just be kind of, it can get tiresome. And then I also think that when people know you, there's still pressure too. Like whatever they know you for, there's pressure to be that, right? Like, oh, Vic is always so bubbly, so I can't be in a bad mood because like that's not my, you know, like I gotta be.
Right.
I think either way, there's like weird pressure, right? There's pressure to like impress, or there's pressure to like be what people expect of you, either way, to some extent. So pressure, so much pressure.
Exactly. And sometimes like my co-host for my indie film cafe, he is not in the industry. Like he's an archaeologist. He's yeah, and he does this stuff because he loves movies, you know, and stuff. And he loves talking about bad movies and you know, he's you know, that stuff. And then he will be completely 100% honest and real about his feelings. And that can sometimes hurt people's feelings, you know, or whatever, but he's doesn't hide who he is. Me, on the other hand, because I'm in this industry and I'm sort of like, I'm afraid, oh man, I'm reviewing somebody's film. And what if what I say hurts their
Their
feelings and then they
feelings.
don't like me anymore?
Totally. Because you're an artist yourself, like you understand what it feels like to be on the receiving end of that. So there's some sense of like, oh, I have to like take care on some level, right? Like at least you can't be like, I don't know. I think probably I'd feel the same way. Like you wouldn't want to be so honest to where it's like gonna crush somebody, right? You have to be like, how can I gently be honest about this or whatever? You know what I mean?
But then sometimes I am kind of brutally honest, and
Yeah.
people like, you know, will block me over it and stuff. And I'm
Yeah,
just like,
I'm
because
sure it
we're all
happens.
sensitive artists.
Like I
We
said,
really
yeah,
are.
we're artists and we're sensitive about our shit, right? It's like you put so much of yourself into your creations, and those are your babies. So yeah, it hurts when people say bad things about it. Like we were talking about earlier. That's why like I wish I could figure out like how to recreate how I feel about Lexi and like feel that way all the time. So I'm not so that I don't have to get my feelings hurt, right? It's like, yeah, whatever, it's
Well, I
fine.
don't
Like,
know because Lexi at the end of the
yeah.
time, she really kind of freaked out and flipped
Yeah.
out, and she was sort of not herself by the end of
Yeah.
it. And I think that was sort of what I really liked too, was like it went from this story about this happy-go-lucky girl who was, you know, living alone, having a great time. She was enjoying herself. She was doing these vlogs because it was making her feel better and whatnot. And even though I hate to say it, most of the time when I see these things, I'm like, these people real or the, you know, but even though I
100%.
saw her and I was like, maybe she is, and I don't know, like, you know, like maybe she is like this all the time, but
Yeah.
she broke, you know,
Yeah.
by the end of it.
Everyone has a breaking point.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
that's what I loved about it. And I think you definitely did that well, you
Thank
know,
you. Appreciate
you're
it.
welcome. And it's, you know, like once again, like I'm going to be reviewing it for horror film lovers and stuff and letting people know about it. And I mean, obviously right now it sounds like it's going to be more glowing review, but it's not just because I interviewed
You're gonna
you.
get off this podcast and be like, that movie sucked. I hate it.
Well,
Okay,
no, I mean,
now Victoria's not here. We can talk about the real deal.
now I can bring out the real
The
truth.
real.
No, I mean, it'll be more glowing, but like, you know, and that's the thing. Like, one of my friends does this stuff, and he's like, okay, I've got to interview such and such a person. Oh man, their movie wasn't the greatest, you know. How do I like ask him questions about a movie that I wasn't?
I
And
didn't like.
I had learned that early on in doing this stuff, that even if I didn't like the movie, there's still things you could talk about with the person that might not be
100%.
about the, you know, the movie that you did not like, you know.
No, absolutely. I mean, interviewing is a big skill set because of what you're saying, like finding the common ground and getting people to open up. And totally, like you obviously aren't going to come on and be like, "So I hated their movie. Let's talk about it," right? It's like, so what can you find in what they did that's interesting that you did connect to, that you did like, or like how do you steer the conversation to other things that you can talk about, right? So you're not, yeah. But I imagine that is, I bet if it were me, I would have a little bit more like anxiety or whatever going into an interview when I really didn't enjoy the thing. I think I would feel a little
Right.
bit, right, more anxious about it or whatever.
So do you interview people from time to time?
No, I've co-hosted a few things, like little guest co-host spots on a very few various people's podcasts that had interviews, not necessarily just filmmakers, like all kinds of stuff. So I've done that kind of interviewing. And I've done a ton of like these as a guest for various projects, which I think is super fun. But yeah, hopefully, I mean, everyone I've spoken to has been really nice and kind and whatever. And I didn't ever get the sense that like they hated it. They probably could have somebody, I'm sure, who interviewed me has hated something I've done. That's fine. But you know, what are you gonna do? But yeah, I just imagine I putting myself in those shoes, I would feel like if I really didn't like something and I had to ask them questions, I would feel more anxious like going into it. I'd have to do a little bit more, I think, planning on my end as far as like what am I gonna talk about and how do I steer the conversation? You know what I mean? So that it's not apparent. Yeah.
Well, you were in Dexter, so that's pretty freaking cool. You
Yeah,
know, like,
that was awesome. That was the first job I ever booked, where I was a fan, like I watched it and it
yeah.
was so weird. In Dexter's bedroom and like be opposite Michael C. Hall as Dexter. It was like, oh my God, this is Dexter. Weird. It was weird. It was very cool. But it was, yeah, that was my first experience of like being on a show that I actually had watched prior to being on it, you know?
You're like, oh
So it
my
was
God,
weird.
he's real.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I know people like, hello, you're an actress, that's what you do. Yeah, for sure. But it still is weird, like to be opposite like Dexter in his Dexter clothes with his Dexter hair and his Dexter apartment. Like it's weird, you know? You're like, oh, this is weird.
And then you see him like when he's not being Dexter,
Exactly.
and it's just like, we're like, what am I on? You know, like,
Yes.
this seems
Yes.
weird to me, you
Totally.
know.
It was a very surreal experience for sure. For sure.
I love that. Is there a project that you were really proud of at like as an actor that you don't think gets enough recognition?
I mean, that sounds really self-serving to say. I think I'm the proudest of my performance in my own projects that I've written and produced, because I've been able to allow myself the opportunity to do a lot more than what I'm often allowed, you know, when I'm doing like co-stars or small supportings on projects. So I think for me that it felt like more fulfilling as an artist. It felt like I was able to go deeper and do more and show my range more. So I think those things as an actor are the things I'm the most proud of. Unfortunately, I've done a lot of I've either done a lot of like very small roles on big projects or projects where you're like, oh my God, this is wow, where you're like, I can't believe this is being made, like in terms of just the quality of the how the set is run or like things like that, you know? So those aren't always fun as an actor. You're like, I'm just gonna do my very best and hope it all works out.
Right. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like how, like, 'cause I mean, I'm a director writer first, so
Yes.
I'm not out there just looking for roles. Like if somebody goes, hey, do you want to act in this, you know, or whatever, I'm cool. Like
Yes.
I'll be like, all right, cool. But like most of the time I'm just like doing it myself. I'm producing it myself. So I'm like, all right, I'll
Totally.
book myself in the movie.
Exactly.
Or I've already written the role to be for
For yourself.
myself. Yeah.
Yes.
But when it's gotta be weird to like think like you know, you get cast in a movie, you think, oh man, this is so exciting, and then it's a clusterfuck, and then you're just
Oh, it's
like, what do I do, you know? And you can't really leave because you're already committed to it and everything. But you said something I liked, which was that you were just like, I do my best and then whatever happens. So what do you tell people? Like you're just like, do you still promote it, or do you just kind of like back away a little bit?
I mean, I'll always like I feel let's see, as long as I was treated like well on the project or whatever, I will have no problem like letting people know it's out and, you know, that you were part of it and whatever. Like, it's kind of like that's the skill of interviewing somebody when you didn't like their project, right? Like, I'm not going to be like, this is the best thing ever. But I'm like, hey, I did this thing if you want to see it. But if it was like a situation where I felt disrespected or whatever, like that in those situations where people were just like rude, I'm not going to, I'm sorry. Then that's where I draw my line. But I always do try to like, yeah, at least share the things you've done and whatever. But the funny enough, like sometimes some of the bigger projects I've done have been ones where have been some of the worst clusters. So you just don't know. You don't know. But I will say this too. One other amazing thing about like having stepped behind the camera and into so many other roles is that now when I get hired to act, I'm like, all I gotta do is act. Like, oh, this is amazing. Like if there's problems going on in production, like it ain't my fault. Like,
yeah,
I don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean? So I used to get like a little nervous every time I book a job before I go on set, like just, you know, little butterflies before you're about to do a thing. Ever since I started producing and writing and doing all the other things, I never get nervous on set now when I just book a role as an actor, because it seems so like manageable compared to like all the things I have to do when I'm doing my own stuff. You know what I mean? I'm like, I just have to show up what my call time says and like be prepared as an actor. That's all I got to do. Oh my God. Amazing. Cool. No problem. I got this, you know?
And like Andrew Lawrence mentioned that in an interview, and he got into directing sort of recently, I guess, doing Lifetime movies and whatnot with his brothers and everything. And I think that's sweet. Like, you know, like Joey Lawrence and Matthew Lawrence and all of them are all working together now doing
that's
these
awesome.
Things. And, yeah. And he, like, I grew up watching them. So, like, it's weird to, like, see them as adults and, you know, especially Andrew. And Andrew was talking about how, because he was asked if he liked directing or acting better. He goes, acting 100%, because all I have to do is get up on set and just, that's it. You know, I don't have to stay there after. I don't, you know, well, I could be in my trailer for 3 hours. Okay.
Exactly. You're not like busting your butt every moment of like, you know, you're not the first person there and the last person to leave. And like, everything isn't on your shoulders, right? Like again, right. As a director or producer, like it's all on you. You got to make this thing run. As an actor, like you're just responsible for your showing up, being prepared, being a joy to be around, being nice to everybody, you know, being professional. That's it. That's all you got to do. The rest of the problems, they're not your problem. So it's a totally different thing. I completely feel that. I agree.
I agree too. And, you know, yeah. And I love what you said that you have to be a joy to be around, because there are some actors that I've seen and even as a director or just as an actor, you know, being on set or whatever, that are not a joy to be around. And it kind of, it, to me, I mean, the rest of the crew, if I'm just acting and I see it, it doesn't bother me because it's not my, you know, it's not my place, you know, whatever. But if I'm directing and people are sort of not being a joy to be around, I kind of have to have like a heart to heart, like one to one talk or something, like kind of say, let's kind of perk up the attitude a little bit, because we're all here for the same, you know, same thing, trying to get this done. You know.
Without a doubt. And that energy is so contagious on a set, whether it's good energy or bad energy. So I'm with you 1,000,000%. And I wish more actors thought about that kind of stuff. Like, it's amazing to me, you know, when I'm producing and casting and all those kinds of things, how little thought actors give that professionalism and like, I don't know what you want to call it, personality or vibe on a set, because that is so important. And especially when you're doing indie stuff at a lower budget, when like, people have to wear more hats or the days might be a little longer or not even just, you have to be more flexible. Right. And there's fewer people in the project by nature of it. So how you act is even that much more important. And like, I would say like, I will cast somebody who's like 10% less talented or whatever the heck, because they're cooler, like
more fun to be around.
Better on set, more fun to be around, like more professional. I know they're going to show up and do whatever. Like that wins over the talent every time. And I think it like, I know a lot of actors, they feel like bad hearing that, but like, it shouldn't make you feel bad, because you can control that, right? You can control how you behave on set. You can control your professionalism and your demeanor. So like, do it, you know, like give thought to that and make sure that you're handling those things. Cause there's people I've worked with that I love and I put them in as many of my projects as I can. And there's a few people that I've worked with that I will never, ever, 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 ever work with the end of my life. And you don't, you know, that's a shame. Like, no. But you don't want to be on the list. And so
you don't want to be on that list. No.
Yeah. I mean, Because the thing is, you just don't know what can happen in the industry and where people will go and whatever. And you want to behave you want to behave in a way that you are a joy to work with and that people will want to continue to work with you, right? So
once again, it goes back to first impressions, you know, like yeah. If your first impression of someone is that they're a diva on set, then you most likely you're not going to work with them again because they're too difficult and stuff. And, you know, you hear things about bigger time actors and everything being divas and all that stuff. And some of them may deserve it. I have a friend who unfortunately has passed, but she was sort of told, you're not supposed to be a diva until you've reached diva status, basically, right? And even then, you probably shouldn't. But the point is, like, you shouldn't be acting like a diva before you've even done anything that requires, you know, you
yes.
to.
Yes, and I would argue never. Like, it doesn't cost anybody anything to be nice, right? So just right. Be nice. Just be nice. Yeah,
just be
and
nice.
That makes such a difference. Like, there's people who are just so lovely to have around. Again, that energy is so contagious, and even more so, I think, on a small project or, you know, just a project with smaller cast and crew, which is usually what we're doing when we're doing indie projects. So yeah, if people are cool, I bring them back again and again. If they're not cool, I'm like, oh, I cannot wait to get this person off my set, and I will never bring them back to one of my projects. You know what I mean? Because it's you have to protect that. You have to protect that atmosphere. So yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. Now, I know we kind of went over our normal time that we're thinking of going. You know, I wasn't even looking at the clock until just recently. I'm like, oh, crap.
Oh, my God, yeah, me too. Sorry. I talk a lot.
No, that's what I mean, that's the thing. I would rather have that.
Yeah.
I've been doing this show since 2006. Well, not this show,
yeah,
but like,
awesome.
Yeah, I've been doing podcasts since 2006. Sometimes you get people who, you know, give like one word answers to everything, and I'm just like,
yeah, you're like trying to pull it out of them. You're like,
I know, and
from you, yeah.
So when somebody comes and they're very talkative and very easy to engage with, it's so much easier than, and I feel like it's easier through Zoom,
yeah.
You know, because I did through Blog Talk Radio, where it was on the phone. And so here in Zoom, it's just so much easier because, like, you can see the person. It
yes.
feels more like a conversation. You know, it's not.
Yes.
So that's how I kind of view it. But anyway, I want to ask, like, because you do Hollywood stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
You said, like, kind of the bigger stuff you did. Like, I think Bruce Campbell said it: the bigger the role, the lesser the. A lesser the character, you know, kind of thing. Like, I mean, or whatever. Like, basically, if you get a big role in Hollywood, you know, that's great. But he was getting more, like, lesser roles in Hollywood, bigger roles in indie world and stuff, and
yes.
Everything. So, did you feel kind of like that? Is that sort
yeah,
of?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the reason that I got into writing and producing and directing all that stuff was because I was frustrated with the roles I was getting as an actress, the opportunities I was given, the content, you know. It's like, how many times can I play like this guy's girlfriend or stripper number three or hot girl number two or dumb blonde number one or whatever it is, right? It's like, I feeling like you had so much more to offer than that and not having an outlet. So that's why I got into writing, because I wanted to create dynamic, interesting characters. You know, I wanted to show what I could actually do. No one gets into acting so you can be like, here's your coffee, sir. You know what I mean? As cool as it is to do that on a big show, which I'm not knocking it, like, rock on. That isn't really artistically fulfilling, right? To do these little co-stars or these tiny roles where you don't really get to do much. So I think being able to step into the writing role made me feel a lot more empowered. Just, you know, because obviously it's up to me to create whatever I want to create and the sky's the limit. And it's been a really gratifying in so many ways that I didn't even expect, like we talked about, you know, just in terms of the awareness now of all the different ways things happen. And I think just a deeper understanding of the process of film and becoming a better collaborator all around and all that stuff. But yeah, the impetus for it all was just because I was like, I'm so sick of playing these like crappy roles. You know what I mean? I want to do more. I have more to offer.
Yeah, well, I like that because that also goes into sort of what an actor does, which is you want to do some research or whatever. And then if you go into producing, a lot of it's research and a lot of it's going into this or that and making sure this is taken care of. And these, like you said before, like the producer has to meet, you know, all those different department heads and stuff like that, which, I mean, kudos to you, because like that right there, having different department heads and making sure everybody is free to work on these days. And what if this person can't make it on this day? Can do you reschedule, or do you know, that kind of stuff, which is so frustrating. Pre-production is my least favorite time,
I
like
would
development and
not agree.
pre-production. Oh,
There's
hate it.
early pre-production I'm okay with, like early when it's more of
You
like,
like
let's
development?
yeah, like development I'm fine with, but pre-production when it gets down to like it, oh man, because yeah, you're like that project that almost killed me. Our location burned down, I want to say 2 weeks before we were supposed to start filming. So we had to find a new location. Just things like that, right? It's like inevitably things. And then of course we were filming during a time of COVID. So you're like praying that nobody gets COVID and you don't have to like shut down production or
And
get
you have
other
to
people
do all
in there.
the, you know, you have to get them test, everybody
All that,
tested.
yeah, we had to find a CCO, COVID compliance officer, and get them tested and deal with all the testing and the PPE and all that stuff, which is a whole nother, complication on top of the normal complications of filming. So yeah, like just all that is just so exhausting. Like inevitably that's when things start going awry, and then and that's just like so stressful. So I'm with you. Like that part of pre-production when it's like, it's scheduling and like call sheets and troubleshooting, all that kind of stuff is like, yeah, woof, it's a lot. It's a
It
lot,
is.
but I love the idea part when you're like, ooh, like scouting locations, or like, what do we think? Like when it's like, it's the same thing of writing. I love my favorite part of writing is like very early on in an idea. I heard the creators of Hacks talk about it, and they were talking about, they call it blue sky. Everything's blue sky, the blue sky everywhere, right? It's like all the possibilities. So I love that in both phases when it's like possibilities, but then when you have to like make it happen, it's
Yeah, we have to actually do it now, like.
oh.
I'm the same way, sort of. Like, I mean, I don't see. I almost don't even like the pre-production side,
Yeah, you don't like any
or
of it.
I mean the development part, like writing the script and stuff like that. Is always fun, but like being stuck in there is not fun. You know, like not getting
True.
somebody to fund your project, that's
True.
not fun. You know, and everything. So like you.
No, getting the money is not fun.
No.
Worrying about money is not fun. Having money, probably fun. Trying to get
Yeah.
money, not fun. Definitely not fun.
Like you just wish that you were like you had trust fund people around you that just could be like, here you
100%.
go, here's like $1 billion, go make your movie, you know,
Exactly.
and
Exactly.
stuff. And I mean, that would be nice, but unfortunately we don't live in a world where, I mean, everybody watches their money, that's why they're rich. And they stay rich. They stay rich that way. If they just gave their money away, then they wouldn't
Yep.
be
And
billionaires.
exactly. And Lord knows, film is not a good investment, unfortunately.
No.
Most films do not do well. So yeah, it's that there's I think there's that when you're dealing with investors too. That's a stressful part, afterwards, because you have responsibilities. Like you want to pay your investors back. You want to be successful. You don't want to like let anybody down or have been a, like taking their money and not have them made it back. So there's like all that pressure of that too. So yeah, that era of things can also be stressful. You're like, oh, I hope we make our money back. Let's make our money back.
We
Yeah.
reviewed a Stanley Kubrick film, like one of his what is it, early works. It was called The Killing, and I was listening to the producer talk, and this is the first time like I realized like how like Hollywood sort of did it back then, maybe a little bit differently, but maybe not. But they were like, United Artists was like, I'll give you $200,000, that's it, right, to make your movie. If you
Wow.
need more than that, you can go and
Get it on your own.
get it on your own, but anything above that has to go second, you know, right?
Yes, right.
So like it you know, so they did raise, he the guy, the producer, had $80,000. I'm like, good God, $80,000 in fucking 1956, like Jesus, you know, that's a lot of
Yeah,
money.
I'll take that. We'll make movies off. We can make three movies off that. Give
I
us
know, right? Even nowadays, yeah, you can make like
Yeah.
four movies off that, or
Exactly.
whatever. But he goes and he made, what is it, so then, and then he again asked his dad for 50 grand, 50 grand, and they, you know, and then, but those people have to get their 200 grand back first. And I'm like, so it's really got to be difficult, period, as like, you know, you tell these investors, look, this is how much return of investment you're gonna get, you know, or you're supposed to get. you know, right? Not you're gonna get, because we don't know if a movie will even make money. It might flop. It might not make anything. You know, you can't promise anything to people. But then you hear a story like Kevin Smith spent $27,000 on Clerks. He got that back plus like 200 grand or something. So you got like 200 and $27,000 for his movie from Miramax, which is amazing, because
So amazing.
that doesn't happen today, not at all. Like,
Yeah,
even
I mean,
I don't think
what,
so.
no, what you do see happen today is like something like a Terrifier 2 situation, which is like he raised, I think, 350 or something close to that off of a crowdfunding, which by itself is amazing. Because you know, this is the second installment. He's had this character around for a while on YouTube, it's been popular, whatever. So he's able to make a big chunk of money on a crowdfunder, film the movie for that amount of money. And then they were able to get a 1 weekend theatrical release for Halloween, and it did so amazingly well that it ended up being in theaters for, I want to say, 3 months, and it made like $2 million to over $2 million in theaters just off of the theatrical run before we get in anywhere. So like you do see these things happen, like Skinamarink as well, I think was made for like, I want to say, 15,000, and then they made way more than that off their limited theatrical run. So like you do see instances of things happening like that, but they're few and far between. And I don't, and that's the, unfortunately, the reality of, as a filmmaker, is that those are the exceptions, not the rule. And so you can't just do, you can't, your business plan can't be that you're going to be the exception, right? Like my business plan is that I'm going to be the really lucky one of 2023. It's going to be me. You know what I mean? Like you have to have, you know, contingencies in place. So you have to be prepared for the fact that like, you may not be the recipient of this epic lotto ticket, right? Like it may not be your movie that happens to. So like, what are you going to do if that's not the case, right?
I mean, it's better that you be completely 100% honest about the fact that they
Yes.
might not make money, but then hope and pray that that actually does make the money for them, so
Yeah.
that, you know, A, not only do you pay back your investors, but they get a profit off of them, which is what I don't think people realize this, especially indie filmmakers. They don't realize that the investors don't just want to make their money back. Like, who wants just make their money back?
No,
Like, nobody.
they get 20%. So like then I think people also fail to realize that like, okay, so you make a movie for like, let's call it 100,000 because it's just an even number. And so your investor is going to get 120 before you get a penny, right? So your
Right.
movie now has to make, you know, 150 before you even see any profits off of your movie. And then in the landscape today, unfortunately, you know, because we don't have, you know, blockbusters and things out on VHS the way like it used to be fairly easy for filmmakers to make a movie for 100K and under and then make their money back pretty quickly. It's you know, the way that most of us make our money these days is off AVOD services, you know, your Tubis and such, and they are paying, you know, fractions of pennies per view. So when you think about the number of views you have to have on your project to actually be making serious money, it's insane, you know? So it's going to take a very long time, or it can take a very long time if that's the only way you're making your money back, you know, to make your money back that way. So yeah, it's, you know, not to be a downer. Like again, it can be done. There's, you gotta be creative, like whatever, but
You're
it's
being
not.
real, you know, which is what you need to be, because I feel like people are like, oh man, that's such a downer statement that she's making. Oh my God, that's terrible. You know, maybe I shouldn't even do this. And honestly, I'm gonna be honest with you. If you're gonna say from the very beginning, oh, that I shouldn't be doing this, don't do it, because it is not like, I feel like people think they see something like Cocaine Bear, to go back to that, but they see that in Hollywood and they go, oh my God, I can make my own movie, you know, that's like Cocaine Bear, and I can go do that. And then, and here's the problem, is like, we have technology, you know, at our, you know, our disposal, that we can actually go out and, you know, do this. And it's just like, some people shouldn't.
No,
You
right.
know.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Also, like when you're talking about a Hollywood movie, you know, they are the beneficiary of a system that's in place to succeed. Like they have huge marketing budgets, they have huge marketing systems at their disposal, right? They have a guaranteed theatrical opportunity. Like it's not the same game plan for like you and me making an indie film as it is for Elizabeth Banks making Cocaine Bear, right? It's not the
Right.
same, it's not the same playing field. We don't have the same set of rules, we don't have the same set of opportunities available to us. So yeah, it's just it like d do it, don't not do it, do it, but do it while being informed and also aware of what you want out of it too. Cause I do consulting too for like actors trying to get into creating their own content. And so a lot, usually I'll suggest that they start off with a short so they can learn the process of filmmaking. And, you know, it's a lower budget. It's easier to wrap your head around. It's easier to film. It's easier in all the ways. Right. But mm-hmm. I always tell them like, there's a million reasons to make a short and all of them are great. But the one reason you're not making a short is to make money.
Right.
Like it's really hard to make money. Sure. And I think that mindset though can be applied even to like things that we do in this business in general, right? Like there's a million reasons to make a movie, but making money maybe isn't the top of the list, right? So it's like, as long as you're aware of that, what does that mean? And is this a jumping off point so that you can get money and make money off of the next project or however you're looking at it? I think it's just important to look at it. Money isn't the only reason, but and also money probably might not happen as a result, right?
Well,
but that doesn't mean don't do it. That just means like know going into it that it's an uphill battle to make a profit on a film.
No,
you know,
100% agree. And I think it really should be you know, about the message of what you're trying to say, you know, like what I mean, if it's entertainment, that's fine. Like that's
yeah.
perfectly, that's a good reason. But generally speaking, you know, you have a theme and you have an idea of what you want. There's something you want to say to the world.
Yeah,
like,
you have
like
a point
Lexi,
of view, right?
you've
Yeah.
had something you wanted to talk about, and how, you know, you wanted to get it out there. So you start writing this idea down and you're not writing it going, oh my God, this is going to be Terrifier 2. You know,
Exactly.
like you're writing it because, and even Terrifier 2 didn't make it because it's you know, because they thought, oh man, we're going to make $200 million on this movie
Had no
or whatever.
Idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, freaking Damien is an amazing guy. I've chatted with the guy who plays Art, David, such a nice guy. In fact, we were in a Twitter thing where people were like attacking him because, you know, before Terrifier 2. Now I'm afraid of what's going on now. It's even
yeah,
worse.
I can't even imagine.
I can't even imagine. But
again, like if you even look, like that's the thing too. People don't see, a lot of times they don't see all the steps leading up to something, right? They see like, oh, Terrifier 2 came out. And, oh, it's a huge hit. I'm going to do that. They don't realize like Damien had been making, you know, short videos on YouTube of Art the Clown for like years before he mm-hmm. even made Terrifier 1. Then he made Terrifier 1 off this little budget and ended up having a little cult following. So much of a following that he was able to raise, you know, 300K, which is no easy thing to do off of a crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So like there are all these steps leading up to this to have the opportunity to have the success that it had, which it did, and is amazing and like rock on. But it wasn't like that he just was like, boom, I have an idea and here I go. And there, you know what I'm saying? It's like even this overnight success was like a decade in the making. You know what I mean?
Once again, I think that's what people think. People think because they haven't seen this person, all of a sudden this person's an overnight success, that that's just it. That they're all of a sudden, Jennifer Lawrence, she acted in so many things. She got rejected so many times. And then she does Winter's Bone and it kind of blows her life up. But like, if you looked at all the stuff she was doing before, I just reviewed The Dentist, the movie The Dentist, had Mark Ruffalo, the freaking Hulk, in this movie. And I was like, wait a minute, what?
And Mark Ruffalo's been in so many things for so many years.
I know. Yeah. And you know, and I didn't start noticing him until I think it was 2005 or something when he was in that Over My Dead Body or whatever movie and stuff like that. And I just started noticing him and other things, but I didn't know who he was. But if you look down his career's been, you know, working his way up, and he finally made it to like something that, you know, is much bigger than, you know, what he'd done before. But like all of that, you know, right? Like
all
of that
the work
was there.
Exactly.
So I think that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to keep going up. Like, you know, the way that I'm seeing it, that's all you're doing is like, you know, so your next project you said comes out soon.
Yeah. So we're premiering next weekend, actually, at the Horror Hound Film Festival. It's
nice.
Like a big horror convention and festival. So I'm really excited. We have our little world.
Which Horror Hound?
It's in Cincinnati.
Okay. I think there's like more than one, if I'm correct.
I guess they switch. They switch off locations. Like I think one is in Indianapolis, maybe, and one is
yes,
in Cincinnati,
Indianapolis, and then one's in Cincinnati.
Yeah. So yeah. And we're nominated for like 11 awards, I think, including Best Picture, Best Actress, all that kind of stuff.
Wow! Congratulations.
Thanks. It should be fun. I'm happy to get it out there. You know, it's always such a weight. the time, you know, but writing your project, producing the project, filming the project, post-production, and then finally able to get it out in the world. So hopefully we'll have a nice little festival run this year. And then hopefully it comes out the end of this year, early next year, we can share with the world. But I'm excited to like see it with the crowd. It, you know, it's always a little terrifying and vulnerable, but hopefully it's a good response. So yeah.
So you're going to be at Cincinnati, like in the, at Haran?
Yeah, I am. Come join us. Come to our premiere.
I know. Come to the premiere. Are you going to have a table there or just?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a table, but I'm speaking on a panel on Saturday. You know, I'll be around. So our premiere is Friday night. We're in at like this Friday, March 23rd.
March 23rd. Okay, good. Because this will actually be out on Tuesday. So it will be the next Friday. So
yeah,
there you go. So so please, if you're able to go see, if you're at Haran, go check it out and you can meet Victoria, you know.
Yes, I'd love to talk to you. Yes, please come.
It's okay. She only charges, you know, $100 for selfies.
Selfies, that's it. You know, so bring cash, but you know.
it is crazy when you see some of the things people charge, and I'm like, I'm just really excited. May I get to meet if I'm you know, God willing, you know, happens in May. But I'm planning to meet Michael Rosenbaum, who was like Lex Luthor and
Jim Smallville. That's awesome.
Also has one of the most amazing podcasts that I love called Inside of You Podcast, and he interviews some of my favorite people. Period. I'm just like it's almost like each week it comes out, and I'm like, oh my God. Like another, like I'm trying to be the indie version of him. Like,
okay, inside of you. I haven't listened to it. I have to check it out. That's
really good. He goes he talks to, like, you know, he'll talk to, I don't think he's done Elizabeth Banks yet, but he will talk to like Shannon Elizabeth or somebody like that. And he will not just get into like their film career and what they've done, but like also what the social anxiety, some of the stuff we talk about too, like social anxieties and issues with dealing with stuff. I just do it on the more indie level. He does it on like a way more personal level. And I don't know how he does it. And I would love to, like, because unfortunately he's going to have a line and I can't really like pick his brain or anything, but I would love to just ask him how he does it, you know?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Like, he might not even have an answer for it, because I mean, sometimes people are just naturally gifted for that, you know?
I know, that's so true. Those people are the ones who are like, the people who are so naturally good at stuff, they can't even tell you. They're like, I don't know. You're like, you have magic. How do you have the magic?
Yeah, you gotta share. You're keeping your secret. That's what you're doing. And really, I think it is literally they don't know. And they don't know how to describe it. So it's Inside of You Podcast. It really goes, like, he says, you know, inside of you, like he's going inside and getting the details. And another friend of mine, Mark DiValenti, I don't know if you follow his stuff, but he's got a show that does more psychological chat about that stuff and everything. And so I like that. Like, you know, I feel like we need that now more than ever, is like, you know, hearing that information.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. Like allowing people to be honest and share their honest truth, right? And again, like share the things that we all deal with as humans that we can all relate to, so you don't feel so like isolated and alone in your experiences and realizing, oh, even this person goes through that same thing, right? Absolutely. Hugely important.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much. This was wonderful. So I really appreciate having you on. And everybody else, you have a website, right?
Plug your website. So it's victoriavertuga.com. And then on all the socials, I'm just at Victoria Vertuga. So just my whole name, my email is my whole name. Type my whole name in the internet and you'll find me.
Yeah, just Google you, right? And that's a crazy thing now. It's like when people are like, I want to ask you a question, people are like, just Google it, you know, or like, who is this person? Just Google them. Like, you know, and that's insane, because like, you can find out somebody's full of shit or not just by Googling them.
Without a doubt. It's so funny. My writing partner, he calls me like an FBI agent, because I'm so guilty of that whenever I meet somebody, because LA is also a place where people, you know, they talk themselves up a lot, right? So you're kind of like, it's my years of experience that have made me cynical. So like the first thing I do is like I go home and I'm like, IMDb, like internet stalking them. I'm like, who are they really? What have you really done? And my writing partner is always laughing. He's like, you can find everything out about anybody. I'm like, I know, I really can. Women, you know, we're crazy. We can find it. We can, you have it. If it's there to be found, we're going to find it.
Like, I don't blame you. I, Okay, this will be one of my last questions. I
Yes,
promise. I promise. But
no,
there
fine.
were the one of my friends was telling me basically when I would like do interview, well, like not do interviews like interviewing somebody, but when I would be interviewed or whatever, he would always tell me to talk higher of myself, right? Make myself seem bigger than
Sound
I
bigger.
am. And
Yeah.
everything like that. And I always found it so fake and I hated it. And I told him I'm not going to do that anymore. Like, 'cause he was helping me try to promote something. I was like, I just want to be honest with people. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I know we're promoting this movie, but I mean, I'm going to be honest about it, or whatever,
I'm the
because
same way.
I can't do that. I can't
It
lie.
feels real. I hate feeling fake and false and like it's just not my thing. But I will say, like, I think that I do the opposite, which is like I do the same as you, but even so much where like I downplay my achievements. I'm always like, oh yeah, no big deal, no. And that's not good either. Like I feel like I should be like I feel like there's a happy medium that exists, right? Where you're not like tooting your own horn and puffing yourself up to be so big, but where you're like allowed to say, hey, I've done this and I'm proud of that, and that's fine, right? Like there's a happy medium that exists, and I'm trying to be better about like not downplaying all my achievements, like letting them live as they are. But I'm with you. I also can't. I think the reason why I do that is because I hate, like, I have such an aversion to people who seem fake and puffed up that I don't want to be that. So then I do the
Right.
opposite. I make it
Yeah.
small, and it's, no, that's not good either. There's a happy medium that exists,
By the way,
right?
you're adorable. I love it. Like, I
Thank
love
you.
your like personality as like,
Thank you.
it's funny, you see you in like Lexi or Disgraced or anything that you've been in,
Yeah.
and then you see the person as they are, in the interviews, and you see, because you see like Aubrey Plaza, and she's Aubrey Plaza.
Totally.
You see all these people, and then you see them in the interviews, and you're like, oh, they seem so sweet. I don't know if like if that is an act or if that's real, but like, I mean, obviously I don't think you could do that. Like, I mean, because for this indie film, like you'd want to do that. Like, I think
Right.
for a indie film talk, you wouldn't want to do that. But for like, Kimmel, would you be a
Right.
different personality on there, or would you just be yourself and everything? And that's what I feel like everybody should be more like that. Should just like let who you are go. It doesn't matter. People
Totally agree.
can
Totally
enjoy
agree.
you.
And
So.
it's way better to like forge those genuine relationships and also to like find your people, right? Like to find your fans, like be yourself. And like you're, again, to go back to like everything everywhere all at once, I think when you are so specific and honest with like who you are and what your POV is, like it's like a beacon to other weirdos to find you, right? It's like you can only have the people who really get you if you're real, right?
See, that
So
movie had so much more going on to it than probably people realize, because
yeah.
everybody I know is like, why did that movie win and stuff like that. I'm like,
Totally.
have you seen it? Like, I own the 4K of it and it blew me the freak away. Like, I was like, this is gonna be blasphemy because I love Marvel. Marvel's one
Yeah.
of my favorite things, but if they did a better multiverse than
Oh yeah.
Doctor Strange in the multiverse, which I think I felt like they held back a little bit. With
Yeah.
it, and I don't know
Yeah.
if that was because they were afraid to go too crazy or
Or
whatever,
whatever.
but this
Yeah.
movie wasn't afraid to go too crazy. This
So
movie
that's
was
the thing,
like,
and I think it's okay. Like it's not going to be for everybody, and that's fine. But like the people that it is for, it is so for them. Do you know what I mean?
yeah.
I think like that's what it is. It's like to be so genuinely yourself that like it's a hell yes or a hell no, and it's okay if it's a hell no. Like you can't possibly be everybody's thing, right? Not everyone is going to vibe with me. That's okay. Like they don't have to, but hopefully the people that do are like, oh, I so get it, right? Like I
Yeah.
so get it. Like that's what you hope for, I think.
All right. Well, before I ask another question and then just keep going, I'm gonna have to cut myself off. So
Love
I just want to say thank you so much once again. And everybody go check out her website, go check out her film, see it at Horror Hound. Go see her if you see it at Horror Hound, because that would be weird just to like, it'd be like in Lexi
Brad in
when
the
you're just
background.
watching, that was the creepiest part of Lexi, is like that guy writing that or whatever, the Instagram live,
Oh, yes.
and saying
Totally.
like, I watch you when you're sleeping. And and then she, I mean, it never comes back up later in the movie, and I'm like, shouldn't we be looking out for this guy?
Well,
Whoever's
is
doing
this the
this.
guy? Is that the guy? Is that who her stalker is? Like, is that,
Yeah. Or is he just making some creepy comment? You never know. Once
you
again,
never know.
open-ended. You don't know. And I
Questions.
love that, So Sorry if I kind of spoiled the movie. I don't know.
Oh,
We
it's
kind of
okay.
said that,
No,
but it's
it's
fine. I think you need to sort of when you talk about it because it's just sort of that kind of thing. So, but
yeah.
anyway, thank you so much, and everybody come check her out. And till then, see you guys next week or no, 2 weeks from today. Until then, everybody, bye.